Are rewards in heaven really eternal? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And today is a special day because it is the final episode in our current series about eternal rewards. For me, this has been a really fun experiment because Bob and Sean invited me to come join them in the studio for this series to talk about this book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. This final episode marks the end of our discussions, but it's been a lot of fun. Let's tune in to our discussion today. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. We have decided to extend this series on eternal rewards. This series was based on Lucas's book, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey, available at our website, faithalone.org. It's a great book. It's easy to read. And there are study materials. There are videos that go with it. There's a study book that goes with it. I highly recommend it. The title of Lucas's book is Eternal Rewards, and we have used that expression over and over and over again. But here's the question. Is that a biblical expression?
Well, the question, yeah. To branch on it, some dispensationalists believe that the rewards that are given will last for 1,000 years and then end. So they would be called eschatological rewards, not eternal rewards. Lucas's title suggests that these rewards will go past the millennium on to forever. And so what do you think, Lucas? You think you have the right title, Eternal Rewards?
I was speaking recently at an event, and somebody came up afterwards and challenged this idea, and it was based on basically what you're saying, that are we sure that it lasts the entirety of eternity because we have different eras, you know, we have different dispensations. And I probably looked like a deer in the headlights, but after actually talking to Bob and Sean a little bit, I think we have some really good answers for that question on whether or not rewards are eternal. One that's really great is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Now, we've looked at this verse before, but I want to bring out a specific aspect of it. He says here, this is Paul speaking, he says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Now, some of your translations will say crown there, but basically the point is this is something that is received and it's imperishable. And what does imperishable mean if not something that lasts forever? And so that for me is the first piece that we see, that this is a reward that sticks around.
Yeah. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, right?
Yeah.
And so in the divine sense of time, 1,000 years is just one day. So the millennium, as great as it's going to be, is a day.
Yeah.
If we received a crown that lasted for 1,000 years, that would be, in the scope of eternity, receiving a one-day crown.
Yeah.
Which is a perishable crown.
Yeah, it's not the
same. I mean, I think the word imperishable, in English, just as in Greek, suggests it won't ever perish, right?
Seems straightforward to
me. If it ever perishes, if the rewards were purely millennial, they would be rather insignificant in terms of eternity. Significant for that 1,000 years, but after that, not really that significant, because it's just one divine day.
Yeah. What comes to mind is how often the New Testament uses the word inheritance to signify reward. And I'm just imagining, what if when my parents pass from this world and leave me an inheritance, the lawyer said, okay, this inheritance will last you for one era. And I say, well, how long is that? One decade. And then you'll have to give it up. Well, that's not an inheritance. That's not how an inheritance works. An inheritance lasts for as long as I last, and then it goes on to my, you know, to my kids. And if I were to never die, that would always be my inheritance. And this relates to another verse that I think actually doesn't use the word inheritance, but uses this idea. It's Matthew 6:19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And so let me pause right there and just make the point that what he's saying is he's setting up a contrast between that which does not last, which is earthly wealth. But then
right.
He says this in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so what he says here is that there is a treasure in heaven where a thief can't take it away and it won't deteriorate. But by the way, I'm going to take it away after 1,000 years. I don't think so. It doesn't seem to leave open that door where he's going to take it away or he's going to redistribute the wealth at the end of the millennial kingdom. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, see, and I think that's very important, Lucas, because there is no verse that says Jesus takes these rewards away. Lots of verses that say he gives them.
Right.
None that say he takes them away.
Right. And we've sometimes, I mentioned earlier Revelation 4:10, which talks about 24 elders casting their crowns before Christ. But one of the things people need to look at is, I encourage everyone to study it. Verse 9 says, whenever the four living creatures give glory and honor to God, then the 24 elders cast their crowns. Hmm. Well, we're told these four living creatures are doing this perpetually, over and over and over again. They're proclaiming the glory and honor of God. So the 24 elders are kind of like that. Is it a duck? What is it that puts his beak in the water and puts his head back and goes in the water?
Right, right. Those little toy you're talking
little
about.
Little toy things?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. They're casting their crowns, putting them back on. Casting their crowns, putting them back on. And I don't even think the 24 elders are humans. I think these are angelic beings that do this over and over again. And the reason it's 24 is they represent Israel, 12, and the church, the 12 apostles. But in any regard, whoever they are, whatever they're doing, it doesn't say we give our rewards back. Whatever Revelation 4:10 means, it doesn't contradict Matthew 6:19-21, and it doesn't contradict 1 Corinthians 9:25. We have an imperishable crown. We have rewards which are never going to be taken away. Moth isn't going to eat them up. Rust isn't going to eat them up. They're not going to be stolen. They're not going to be destroyed.
Well, I got some ideas here for you. You guys tell me if this makes sense. Revelation 21. This is the eternal state.
Right.
This is the new heavens. This is the new earth. And I just want to read from verse 7
in
chapter 21. It says, he who overcomes. That's one of our key words, right?
Yes.
So there are overcomers in the eternal state.
Right.
He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So there is a sense where overcoming makes an impact into the eternal state. And we've already seen that not everyone is an overcomer.
That is great. And by the way, my son, this is a reference to a special sonship that the overcomers have.
Right. And let me just point out one other thing. It's in verse 24. This is describing the glory of the New Jerusalem. I just want you to note who is being described here. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Let me tell you, in the eternal state, there are kings. And guess what? Not everyone gets to be a king.
That's right.
Only some people get to be kings. And who gets to be kings in eternity? We've looked at this over and over and over again. It is the overcomers, the faithful, who get to rule with Christ. So there you have a statement of hierarchy in the eternal state, kings.
And you also have another statement of eternal reward in 22:14. You want to mention that, Lucas?
Yeah, you know, starting in 12, he says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, which is kind of a funny word for us, but repayment, maybe, recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Then 14 says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Now, we discussed that in a previous episode, but these are aspects that we see in eternity. And the fact that we see them in eternity and that there's still this inequality that we've been talking about tells us this is an eternal state of affairs. This is something that you will experience forever. Whatever your faithfulness is now is going to have an effect on the next 10 billion years. And that is not something we should take lightly.
That's a good point. Another verse that comes to mind on this is 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 11. In verse 5, Peter talks about adding to your faith certain character qualities, virtue and endurance, etc. And then in verse 11, you want to read that one, Sean?
For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the temporary kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
No, it doesn't say temporary kingdom in my Bible.
Oh, it says into the everlasting. Does that mean a forever kingdom?
That means a forever kingdom.
So not just 1,000 years.
And what that means is that Peter views the millennium as the first 1,000 years of the everlasting kingdom. Yeah. A lot of people have the misnomer that the millennium is one kingdom and the new heaven and new earth is another kingdom. But if you go to the book of Daniel, the fifth kingdom is the kingdom of the Son of Man, and it's an eternal kingdom. So the millennium is the first 1,000 years of the everlasting kingdom. And what's promised here in verse 10, it says, make your calling and election sure, which I think what he's saying is, make your calling to rule with Christ and your being chosen to rule with Christ sure by adding these character qualities. But verse 5 makes it clear you don't get this abundant entrance or this rich entrance, which is more than just entrance,
right,
unless you add these character qualities. And if you do, it's an abundant entrance to the everlasting kingdom.
All right, so let me see if I can summarize, because we've gone over a lot of evidence here.
Right.
So the question is, do these rewards end after the 1,000 years are over?
That's the question.
And we've been saying absolutely not. And the proof that we've used is, one, the crowns that we get are imperishable.
Right.
That means they last more than 1,000 years.
Right.
Two, in the eternal state, it is described that there are people who are still kings in the eternal state, and they're still getting rewards like going into the gates and things like that in the eternal state.
Right.
Third, the treasure you lay up in heaven also is not subject to decay. It is also described as eternal. Four, in the Second Peter passage, you get this abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom, the forever kingdom. So you have at least those four proofs. And then fifthly, there is no passage that says Jesus takes those rewards
Absolutely.
Back. Absolutely. So if you believe in evidence and you believe in Scripture, and if you believe in Scripture interpreting Scripture, I think the conclusion is clear. When Jesus gives you the gift of eternal life, that is forever. And when Jesus gives you a reward, that too is forever. But now is the time to be earning those eternal rewards.
Amen.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for the opportunity to spend some time discussing this valuable and important subject, eternal rewards. It's available on our website at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can get your very own copy by going to the site and clicking on the button that says store. Now, along with this, we have all kinds of free resources that are available for you right there on the site. All of these resources are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture. I certainly hope you'll take advantage of all that we have on the site. Let me give you some examples. You can get a free subscription to our podcast, to our magazine. It's a beautifully laid out full-color magazine. It'll show up right in your mailbox. You can even get a free subscription to our daily blog posts. All this and much more is waiting for you. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Now, you might be interested to know that we have financial partners that help us do the ministry that we're doing. Maybe you could imagine yourself being one of those financial partners. If that's the case, you can find out how to do that on the website as well, faithalone.org. Now, if you'd like to send us a message, we would love to hear from you. The best way to reach us is through email, so I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to begin something brand new, and I'm going to save it until tomorrow. So, tune in and be surprised. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.